topics all tie into each other. So we've been talking about what the nace is, and of course that ties into the question of the chiyuv halal, where it comes from. So now we'll try to take that background and understand a little bit better what the chiyuv halal is about, which will include the question of women in the obligation of halal, and which also will go to the question of the nature of the simcha of Chanukah. What exactly is it as a yontif? What exactly does it take with it as an obligation? So all of these topics kind of just seamlessly go in and out of each other. So we're kind of moving from phase to phase, but we'll keep building on what we've seen so far. And we'll see, it'll probably spill over a little bit into tomorrow, and then we'll have actual Chanukah next week. We'll continue, certainly at least during Chanukah, to talk about other Chanukah topics. Okay, so let's try to figure out what exactly is the nature of this institution that we call Chanukah. As the Gemara says, it's Samai Chanukah. So if you saw the Rambam, which has come up a few times already, the Rambam in Gimel Gimel, so the Rambam says that Hallel was, that Chanukah was instituted. Let's read his exact language, since I have a Rambam here. Gimel Halacha Gimel. ומפני זה הסכינו חכמים של אוסו הדור שיהיו שמונה ימים האלו שתחילה סנחפה בקסלב, ימי שמחה והלאה. So what does that mean, that they were established as days of Simcha and Halal? What does it mean to say it's established as a day of Simcha? What's the halachic ramification of being called a day of Simcha? What comes to mind as a possible, what's the difference between a day of Simcha and a day that's not a day of Simcha? Yeah, Adam? Well, is that true though? Because you're right, the Gemara does bring that up in terms of definition of Chag, which is going to be an issue we have to figure out. But that's going to be very hard to reconcile with this, because we know there's no such prohibition on Chanukah. So it doesn't...
Hey, what are we saying? How do we define Simcha?
If a day is characterized halachically as a day of Simcha, so what does that mean practically? Michael, you want first? So that's one thing. It means at least that much, right? And that the Gemara had said actually is something that's a part of it. D'lo mispid b'hon, d'lo zanis b'hon. And according to the Brisker Rav, he thought that's really all it means. That it means that there is an Isser Hesped and Tainus. But there are other possible implications of being a day of Simcha. What else? Did you have your hand up before?
Basar
v'yayin. So basar v'yayin, okay. Or to put it more generally, food. Right, festive meals. So is there a chiyuv suda on Chanukah? Is it a time of meals in an obligatory sense?
No.
No? So it depends. You may have seen it's a little bit of an issue that the Bach quotes from earlier sources that there's a practice to eat meals on Chanukah. And the Shulchan Aruch has it as a rishus. The Shulchan Aruch talks about having seudas on Chanukah. It says that that's a custom, and we will get a little bit more into that, but we just want to discuss it now for a minute in terms of just the definition of what it means to be a day simcha. So it's interesting why that should be exactly, that it's a rishus per se. So the Taz quotes the Maharshal who disagreed. The Maharshal, if you got a chance to see this, it was in the Maror Makomos, it's Tafresh Ayin Sifkat and Gimel, and he quotes from the Maharshal that there is a chiyuv of a suda on Chanukah. So it's either a rishus or a chiyuv or nothing. So the Bach explains the difference between Purim, when we know that there clearly is a chiyuv suda, and Chanukah, where at least the Shulchan Aruch's perspective is that there isn't, has to do with the nature of the Hatzalah. That on Chanukah, the main threat was spiritual. And on Purim, the threat was l'hashmi, l'harig, l'abedis, kol Yehudim. The main threat was physical. So therefore, we commemorate the physical Hatzalah with a physical Suda, and we commemorate the spiritual Hatzalah with more spiritual means, such as Hallel and the like. It's an interesting perspective. You have to figure out if that really covers everything. Some suggest that that's what's going on later on in Daf Chav Dalet, So there'll be a discussion in the Gemara about Alanisim. And the Gemara takes it for granted, if you saw this on the Marmakomus as well, that the Gemara first assumes that we should take it for granted that there is an obligation of Al Hanisim in davening. But it's not so obvious that there's an obligation of Al Hanisim in benching. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. And the first Rashi on the Amud, Chavdala Meralef, Rashi says, Brechas Amazon, B'tfila pshitalon sh'arei lahalel l'haydah nikv'u k'darmin l'el. Oh, tefila, obviously, you need to say halal. The question is, what about Berachas HaMazon? Or halal in the state, or hodah in the case of Al Hanisim. So tefila, obviously, the Berachas HaMazon, we're not sure. So some suggest, Rav Yitzchok Saratzkin has this in a Sefer Gevuras Yitzchok, that maybe along the lines of the Bach, that if we say that Hanukkah was more spiritual and Purim was more physical, so when it comes to Purim, okay, so we have a Chiyuv Suda, and we have a Chiyuv Berachas HaMazon, and therefore Al Nisim has to be a part of it. When it comes to Hanukkah, apparently, since it's more spiritual in nature, so Tefillah, obviously, we should say something, but Berachas HaMazon, it's not so obvious. And that's interesting, a little bit parallels, that if we assume LaHalacha, so there is a Chiyuv Suda on Purim, that's clear that there is, and Hanukkah, we're not so sure. So the Gemara says, when talking about Yalav Yavo and Ritzei, and the Gemara says, what's the rule if you forget to say Yalav Yavo? Do you have to repeat Shmon Esrei? Do you have to repeat Benching in that case? Do you have to repeat Benching if you forget Yalav Yavo? What's the rule?
It's a Chiyuv Suda.
Right, so it depends. If it's a Chiyuv Suda, so let's say it's Yontif or Shabbos in terms of Ritzei, so then you have to repeat. But if it's not a Chiyuv Suda, like let's say Chol Moed, or Rosh Chodesh, or even Shabbos, after you've had your obligatory Sudas already. So then, you're supposed to say Ritzei, you're supposed to say Yalav Yavo, but if you leave it out, you're not Mechuyiv to repeat. So, there's a rough parallel here, just in terms of whether there's a Chiyuv Al Hanisim in the first place, in terms of whether it correlates to the Chiyuv Suda, that Purim has a Chiyuv Suda, so it for sure has a Chiyuv Al Hanisim. And Chanukah, we're not sure if it's a Chiyuv Suda, we're not sure if it's a Chiyuv Al Hanisim. I say rough parallel because in regards to Yalav Yavo, the question isn't about saying it in the first place, the question is just about if you have to repeat, if you leave it out. So it's not exactly parallel, but it seems to evoke that discussion somewhat. Rav Zsolti had a suggestion, which I'm not sure if I fully understand, but he made reference to the fact that on Purim, the Yerushalmi says that if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, which it can't do in America, but it can do in Yerushalayim, if you observe Purim on the 15th, like they do in Yerushalayim, the 15th of Adar sometimes falls out on Shabbos. 14th of Adar never does, but Purim in Yerushalayim can fall out on Shabbos. So what Shlomo's pointing out, that's called the Purim Mishulish, that it's called a three-day Purim extravaganza because you take the different obligations. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely fun. You take it's a big machlokus there, how all the parts fall out. But basically, you take the mitzvahs of Purim and they get scattered. Some are observed on Shabbos, some are observed the day before, some are observed the day after. So the Yerushalmi suggests that Shabbos, you couldn't have your Purim Suda, because La'asos, that's the source for the obligation of the Suda on Purim, then the Gilas Esther says that we have to make it into a day of Simcha. So says Yerushalmi, so Shabbos is already made into a day of Simcha by itself, and therefore we can't build on it and make it into a day of Purim Simcha. So okay, so fine, if you have the Purim Suda to deal with on Shabbos, you'd push it off to a different day. So Rav Zsolti says, since Hanukkah is more than a week long, and it's always going to contain a Shabbos, so therefore, because of that one day out of Hanukkah, they couldn't be koveya suda as an obligation on Hanukkah. Okay, I'm not sure if that's such a compelling approach, but it's an interesting idea. Adam?
How does that work when you have Yontif on Shabbos?
So when you have Yontif on Shabbos, you mean in terms of how you have a chiyuv suda to begin with?
How is the simcha of Yontif?
Well, it's an interesting question from a couple of levels.
Isn't that a Gemara
Ksuvos? Gemara Ksuvos, that what?
That discusses, like, you know, overlapping Simcha or Avilos with Simcha and all
Avelus. Right, Avelus and Simcha is a different issue, but Simcha and Simcha, yeah, the issue
is... It's the same place,
right,
isn't it?
Well, it's two different problems. So, Eim Arvin Simcha v'Simcha, when you have your personal Simcha, like in the Suin, to have on Yantif. But it's an interesting question. If the issue is that Sudash Purim is supposed to be a created Simcha, so then that can't take place on a day that's already got its own inherent Simcha. But a Yantif, the Raisa, doesn't seem to have that problem, because it also comes with its own inherent Simcha. So that's both B'day Shemayim. The language of the Yerushalmi is that Yatza Elu Shasim Chasa B'day Shemayim. So therefore, that's a problem. But the Yantif Simcha is already there. So we're not creating it. Well, yes, that's a part of it. But it boils down to the fact that since it's Deraisa versus Drabanan, it means one's already there, B'day Shemayim, and one's created by people. So that's not something we can necessarily add. It touches on a couple of other interesting issues. It touches on the issue that it seems to suggest then that Shabbos has some degree of simcha to it, which we're not so sure is the case. Mm-hmm. We normally assume that Yontif is about simcha and that Shabbos is about Oneg. So that's also a discussion to have. But in any event, so it comes out that the Suda on Shabbos and the Suda on Purim are a conflict, so maybe that could somehow explain why Hanukkah, which always includes a Shabbos, can't have a Suda. I don't know how compelling that is. I mean, Pashas says they could have made a Chiyuv Suda for all of Hanukkah, and then the one day of Hanukkah that it overlaps, it would be less obvious, but you'd be having a Suda every day. So it sounds like from the Gemara, from the Yerushalmi, that it's an issue of Heker, that you're not going to recognize that the Suda is for Purim. So if you have a Suda for every day of Hanukkah, you will recognize. I don't know if that's necessarily such an issue. But in any event, the Bach's explanation is the more well-known explanation, that we don't have a Chiyuv Suda on Hanukkah because it is a spiritual Hatzal. And that's, again, a topic of debate. And maybe we'll come and fill in a little bit more about that. So if it's not about Suda, so then what does it mean to say it is a Chiyuv Simcha? What does it mean to say that it's a day of Simcha? So yes, it may mean that there's an Isser Hesped Atinus, that our Gemara actually says explicitly, but it seems to include something more than that. Right? So that's where we get into the whole Halal question. We also saw, if you saw the Mar Makomos, for example, the Torah quotes from the Ritz Gaius that we don't say Siddiqa Din on Hanukkah. That's also perhaps a minor ramification of it being a day of Simcha. But it seems to be that there's a kvias of Simcha. If you saw the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Baloscha, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, that there is a notion of a Simcha being established whenever there is a victory from military threat. And he makes some reference to Hanukkah there. And the Rashi that we've seen already, Rashi in Chaval of Midbeis on Ardaf, Rashi has a funny way of saying it. Adam, it seems like he's actually coming to argue with you directly in your earlier suggestion about the Malacha. So it says, "Asa mem tovim b'halal v'hoda." Says Rashi, "Lo shasurim b'malacha shelo nikvu ela likrois halal v'lomar al hanisim b'hoda." That the kviyas here was so that they should say halal and they should say al hanisim. That's what this kviyas is. That's what it means. So if that's the whole thing, and so that's a mitzvah. Halal is a mitzvah. Alanisim is a mitzvah. Not a mitzvah in a deraisa sense, but it's a din. So why should we assume necessarily that it needs to be nikva as a yantif in order to say halal? Right, that self seems to be somewhat of a chiddush. So it seems that what Rashi is getting at, and this is a discussion that Rav Tertzin, who we've mentioned in the past, has in a sefer, Kuntros Chanukah Megillah, that apparently in order to have Hallel, at least as a Yontif, so you have to have a status of a Yom Simcha. Has to have that character to the day. And you may recall, we discussed a little bit last week, the question of why there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Rambam's formulation of the Gemara in Erechin is that there's no Halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they are not days of Simcha Yisera. But apparently the threshold, how much Simcha it has to be, and these days don't fulfill it. So apparently that's the idea, that you have to be called a day of Simcha in order to have Halal, and maybe that's why they had to be Kaveh Yantif in order to give it that status. Now we see that the Ramban, in his comments to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs in Sharash Aleph, and this is something alluded to from the other direction last week also, that the Ramban understands that Hallel is a function of the Chiyuv Simcha. Right? And that's why, according to the Ramban, Hallel on Yantif is Daraisa. Right? Because since the mitzvah Daraisa of Simchas Yantif, so therefore we have to include in that an obligation of Hallel. This is a commentary of the Sefer HaMitzvahs called Megillas Esther, if you had a chance to see it, and if anyone saw it on the Maamar Komos. So Megillas Esther says, well, how do you know then what kind of simcha is included? Maybe we should say that people should have to get married on Yantif also. Right? So clearly that's not the case, and in fact that's generally understood to be asur. You say, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. If you want to suggest that that's what it means in terms of Hanukkah, so I was machmer for that, so I got married on Hanukkah, maybe it's the key of the Megillas Esther. But we generally would assume that it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to seek out every type of simcha in the world. So Rav Turtzin talks about that. You know, it's a little bit of a funny question. That presumably we mean that simcha that's associated with Yantiv is included in the Daraisa of Simchas Yantiv. So if Hallel is associated with Yantiv, so fine, that should be included in the obligation of Simchas Yantiv. So the Ramban's view seems to be that Hallel on Yantif is Daraisa, while the Rambam has a different formulation. Right? The Rambam says that all of Hallel, again in Hilchas Chanukah, he says that all of Hallel is Midivrei Sofrim. Right? All the Rambam's Hilchas Hallel is in Chanukah, which is interesting on a couple of levels. So to say it's Midivrei Sofrim, so that got the Ravid upset, right? Because the Ravid says, what are you talking about? It's not Midivrei Sofrim, it's Midivrei Kabbalah. Because a pasuk in Yeshaya, the Gemara quotes in Erechin. We've put the Gemara in Erechin Daf Yud on the Maamar Komos in the past, right? I think so. Everyone's seen that Gemara? It's kedai to see if you haven't seen it yet. We'll talk about it a little bit today. I think I've put it in the past. But the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Yud on Midbeis. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk that refers to Shir Kalel Hiskadei Shchag, that we say Hallel in connection with a day that is sanctified as a Yantif. So therefore, says the Ravid, this is not Midivrei Sofrim, which he reads to mean something like it's a Drabanan. It's Midine Nevi'im. The Nevi'im instituted this. And this is the Gemara, it was Daf Yomi not so long ago, and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin and Aleph and Psachim, where the Gemara seems to say that the Nevi'im instituted Hallel so that we should have something to say when we're rescued from sorrows, from persecution, and from threat to our existence. And Rashi over there gives you an example like Hanukkah. So if the Gemara sounds like you make a Hallel mitikanas Nevi'im, so the Ravid says, what are you talking about? Why are you calling it Midivrei Sofer? So the Kesef Mishnah says, don't get so upset, calm down, because the term Divrei Sofrim can include both the Rabbanans and things that are transmitted to us through Chazal. So it doesn't mean to exclude Divrei Kabbalah. So therefore, that's all legitimate usage of the term. So Rav Turtzin explains what he thinks the Ravid's objection is, that it's not that the term theoretically could include Divrei Kabbalah as well. But the Rambam's talking about Chanukah, which seems to be Drabana. And yet, then he says, all of the Hallels are all in this category. So it sounds like he's saying that whatever Hallel on Chanukah is, all the Hallels are. So they're all Drabanas. But, he goes on to say, you could explain, and you could defend the Rambam by pointing out that does the Rambam necessarily mean to say that it's all Drabanan? No, he could mean that there's a takanas nevi'im to say Hallel when we have a salvation from a big threat. And they decided that Chanukah fit into that pre-existing takana. So that it's all mitakanas nevi'im, all the Hallel is mitakanas nevi'im. And therefore, that includes Chanukah as well, and that's why the Rambam groups them all together, and the Ravid shouldn't get so upset. It's all, they all agree, they're all saying the same thing, that everything is mitakanas neviim, and that includes halal and chanuk. Yes, sir.
When did the Ramban that says halal deraisa, this is on a Hanukkah when Hanukkah itself is only deraisa?
Oh, so that's a good question. So maybe yes, maybe no. Probably no, right? Because he's talking really against the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yudalit. Because there, the Gemara, Brachas, and Daf Yudalit, I think we talked about it a little bit last week. I don't know if I ever put it on Mar Makomos, though, maybe you should, but put it on now. That the Gemara, Brachas, and Daf Yudalit, Amar Aleph, raises the question that if you can interrupt in the middle of Kriya Shema, what's the story by Hallel and Megillah? So there, the Gemara says, well, on the one hand, Hallel and Megillah are more makel than Kriya Shema because they're Rabbanim. It says, Beferish, Hallel, Rabbanim. On the other hand, they're more Machmir because Persuminisa. So the Ramban will say that Gemara is talking about Hallel and Chanukah Mishum Persuminisa, that's Drabanan. And the Hallel Yantif is Daraisa Mishum Simchas Yantif. So for the Ramban himself, no, he's not necessarily saying it's true about Chanukah. However, let's think about it for a second. Is there a way to say that there would be a Chiyuv Hallel Daraisa according to his definition on Chanukah too? It's a little bit of a stretch, but is there possibly a way to say it? I mean, we could say that if all, I mean, it's still going to be hard to call this daraisa, but it's what you might call ikaro daraisa. In other words, we sometimes distinguish between something which is purely the rabbanan that the chazal basically created, or something which is daraisa sometimes and not necessarily here, and the chazal said do it here too. So this would at least be Ikaro Daraisa. If we want to read what's going on in this Rashi, is saying Chazal made Chanukah into a Yontif, a day of Simcha. And the day of Simcha means there's a Chi of Halal, at least when it's Daraisa. So then, you know, Kein Daraisa Tikron, that just like the Simcha of Sukkot, let's say, has a Halal, so too Chazal made Chanukah a day of Simcha, and therefore that brings with it a Chi of Halal, Kein Daraisa, Ikaro Daraisa, something very close to Daraisa, perhaps. Well, if it's more about the Nais, so then maybe it's still close to a Daraisa from another direction, because it's a Takanas Nevi'im, perhaps. So from a technical perspective, let's talk about the women for a second. So before getting into the major issue of women in Halal, there's a side issue, that there's a Gemara Maseches Brachas and Daf Chaf Amud Beis, where there is a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, about the principle of mitzvah sasei shazman grama. That Rashi seems to assume that the exclusion of mitzvah sasei shazman grama does not apply to mitzvahs derabbanan. Only mitzvahs min haTorah have this exclusion, and adin derabbanan does not. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Sounds like that women could be chayavos in halal, theoretically. Which is, halal, women are paturas from halal, which seems to be a din d'rabbanan. So if they're pater from mitzvah sasei shazman grama, only on daraisa is not d'rabbanan, so what about halal? And that's basically Tosfos' question. So you could answer Tosfos' question and say, no, Hallel's not a good example, because Hallel is Daraisa on some level. Either it's Daraisa maybe because of its Simchas Yontif component, or it's Daraisa because it's the Takanas Nevi'im, which is close to Daraisa. And presumably, Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grama is an exclusion on those arenas. So basically, Tosfos don't use this to say that the Rabbanans have this rule too. Hallel is not a good example of a straight Drabbanan. Okay. So let's talk for a few minutes about that whole question about Hallel and women. So the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph and Sukkah, if you had a chance to see. So the Mishnah there talks about somebody who is trying to fulfill Hallel through listening to someone else. Right, so you could have a concept of Shomei Ka'ona. That Gemara over there in Sukkah is actually where the main sugya of Shomei Ka'ona comes from. So you could have a question of fulfilling Hallel through Shomei Ka'ona. But, says the Mishnah, If somebody wants to hear halal from somebody who's not obligated, let's say an Eved or an Isha or a Katan, so then there's still a way to do it. He should just repeat every word that he hears. So he could listen to the non-obligated individual say the words of halal, and you'll repeat it. So what emerges clearly from that Mishnah? Are women obligated in halal? Apparently not. Right? Because that's the category where you have to repeat every word because you're not fulfilling it through listening. So if that's the case, it's noteworthy also that the Rambam includes all this in Hilchas Chanukah. So apparently, this exclusion from the Chiyuv Halal applies not just to other halals, but to Chanukah as well. Right, so that's in the very end of the third parak of Hilchas Chanukah. In the very end, he talks about how you do halal this way, and it seems that he says across the board that women are peturos from halal. In the last halacha, halacha yudalit, he says, "V'mhaya hamakreis a halal katan o eved o isha o nacharehem mashen omrim mila b'mila b'chol halal." So therefore, apparently this is true by halal of Chanukah also. So does that surprise us to say that women should be pater from the halal of Chanukah? What do you think? Is there a reason to say that they should be chayabos? Adam?
Wasn't an integral component of the Nes of Chanukah with Yehudis?
Oh, okay. So that's, let's come to that point in a second, the Yehudis part. But you're coming from the back door of a different point. Right? That basically you're invoking the issue of Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. That the Gemara says, and we'll get to the sugya, God willing, as well. The Gemara says that women are obligated in Neiros Chanukah, just as they're obligated in Mikra Megillah, just as they're obligated in Dalet Kosos, because these are all Neis mitzvos. And Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. Women were also included in Neis. We'll have to talk about what that means, practically speaking. So if that's the case, so then shouldn't we say that we should apply that principle here as well? Right? Why don't we say that Halal is for the Nes of Chanukah? So Afen Hayu Ba'oso Hanes, we should be Mechayev women in the Nes Mitzvah of Halal also. It's a fair question. Right, this question was asked by the Stechemed. The Stechemed quotes it from earlier Svarim. It's asked by the Torah Shafal as well. The Torah Shafal was Reb Chaim Brisker's father-in-law, and the son-in-law of the Netziv. So he asks especially because Tosfos says this in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Ches in terms of Halal of the night of Pesach. Right on that same Gemara over there, which says women are pater, so Tosfos says women will be chayiv in the night of Pesach Halal because of Afein. So why shouldn't we say that there should be a chiyuv halal for Chanukah as well, that should apply to women, afen hayu ba'oso hanes? So the Stechemed suggests an answer first, which he ultimately changes his mind from, but it's an interesting suggestion because it takes us down a couple of lines of thought. At one point the Stechemed says, well, maybe we'll say that afen hayu ba'oso hanes doesn't apply to the Nes of the Mulchama. Because the Nes of the Mulchama is something that women are not involved in, because women are allowed to know Hebrew Shemir. That's the Gemara in the beginning of the Sefer's Kiddushin. It says in a different context that women don't go out to war. And it's evocative of a more well-known position of the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch was basically mechadish to the opinion that women are not chayavos in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. This issue comes up every year when they read Parsha Zachar, and they insist that everyone comes to shul for Parsha Zachar, and they say the women also, and then they'll also say, no, women are peturos. So it's not clear why women should be peturos from Zachar. It's not really a mitzvah sasei shazman grav. So the Sefer Achinuch is the one who has this opinion, and he basically blames it on the fact that Amalek is a function of Melchemes Amalek. We remember Amalek because of the war against Amalek. And since women allow Melchemes Melchemes, so therefore we don't have to include that, so therefore they're not obligated to be included in this mitzvah of Zechiras Kabbalah. Because a big chiddush, it's a very controversial point. So the Hemet says, okay, maybe you can say the same answer here. So they're not a part of the Mochama, so therefore this Nes of the Mochama, we'd say, we would not apply often how we both saw the Nes. So he doesn't stick by this answer in the end, but it's interesting, it opens up all kinds of questions. Right? Because there are so many issues that are intertwined with that answer. First of all, he's assuming then that Hallel is a function of the Mochama. I will say that, okay, the Nes of the Mochama doesn't include women, and therefore, no Chiyuv Hallel. But how do you know that it's about the Mochama? Right, it doesn't sound like that from our Gemara. It might be true, but it doesn't sound like that from our Gemara. Our Gemara says there was a Nes of the Pach HaShemet, and there were Koveya these days as a Yantif associated with that. So we've talked a little bit about how these two nisim are possibly intertwined, or which one does which, but it sounds like from his suggestion over here that the halal is associated with a mochama, and that's why you should pater women, but that's not what it sounds like from the Gemara. And since we know the Gemara does apply afhein ha'yuboso and nes to Hanukkah, so then you're saying it's not the mochama, it's the pach ha'shemen that they're including. Which is also a little hard to understand, because how would you define that? How would you basically explain what definition of Afen Hayu Boso Hanes means women are included in the Nes of the Pach Hashem? So we'll discuss, I'll have to fill this in a little bit more, this Machlokas, Rishonim, as to what it means when we say Afen Hayu Boso Hanes, that women were also a part of the miracle. So what does that mean, they were a part of the miracle? So Adam alluded before to Rashi's position. What does Rashi say? That Afen Hayu Boso Hanes means that women were also an integral part in bringing about the Nes. Right, so for example, when we talk about the context of Purim, so it's easy to understand what we're talking about. Esther. In Hanukkah, so Rashi explains, that's a reference to the story of Yehudas. So if Afen Hayu Boso Hanes, according to Rashi, is about that, so what does that have to do? What does that have to do with the Pach HaShemet? And if you say like Tosus, then it means Afen Hayu Boso HaSakana, that whoever was threatened and is saved from it, so that's where the Afen comes from. So again, how does the Pach HaShemet fit in with that definition at all? So that's a hard explanation. So there are those who want to address it looking at other questions about Afen Hayu Boso Hanes. For example, one sefer suggested that maybe you could look at the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav in his Tedushin Be'erchin. So he had a question as follows. He said, how exactly does Afen Hayu Boso Hanes work? Should we say that what it does is it contradicts mitzvah sasei shazman grama? That basically when you have a mitzvah that women should be pater for because of mitzvah sasei shazman grama, so this comes and contradicts that p'tur, so they're subject to the original chiyuv. Or should we say that no, the original p'tur is there, but there's a new chiyuv that comes from this klal of afen hayu boso hanes. So there are some who invoke that point, but you need a little bit more in order for it to help us understand anything. So I actually saw an article in the journal Moria, which is a very fine alumnusha journal. They published a volume collecting all their Hanukkah and Purim articles. So in that volume, they have an article from our own Rabbi Eliyahu Baruch Shulman, from before he was here, where he pointed out as follows. That maybe you could say like this. Maybe you could say that the whole nature of the obligation of women in Hallel on Hanukkah, and especially the presumption that they can't be motzi men, Right, that's really where we're coming from. We're not coming from so much the idea that women are really excluded from halal and Hanukkah, except through the prism of this one halacha, that they can't be motzi men. That apparently men are chayavos, and they're not. So they can't be motzi them. But we could say that it's not that they're not chayavos, it's that they are less chayavos. Right? Maybe they're chayavos, but not in the same way, and men are chayav in a more expansive way. So we know, normally, if you want to be motzi somebody else, you have to be not just obligated, but you have to be as obligated as they are. So maybe when it comes to halal, women are obligated, but in some way they're less obligated than men. This is a parallel to a concept that you find in Hilchos Purim. In Hilchos Purim, so the Gemara says that women are chayavos in Megillah because of afin hayavos hanes. So according to some of the Rishonim, like Rashi and the Rambam, that means that women can read the Megillah for men. But according to other Rishonim, it's not true. They're obligated to hear the Megillah, but they can't read the Megillah for men. This is a view that's associated with the Bahá'í, that a lot of Rishonim quote different versions of. But that's the basic position, that the Bahá'í maintain that women are obligated in Megillah in a different way. He calls it a difference between Kriya and Shriya. He says that men are obligated, at least in the way some of the quotations of the Baha'i have it, that men are obligated to read the Megillah, which they could do through Shemaya Ka'onah, so they could hear it from someone else, but that's the nature of the Kriya. While women are only obligated to hear the Megillah. So the mitzvah is fundamentally different, so therefore women have to hear the Megillah, they are Chayiv, but they're not able to be motzi men. Okay, so far so good? So what if you have a similar structure here? What if we say that women are chayavos in halal, but in a different way, so they can't be motzi men? So he suggests two different ways you come to that conclusion. One is, you could say as follows. For example, when it comes to Megillah, so some explain that the issue with Megillah is that Megillah is really a chiyuv midivrei Kabbalah. It's not really a din derabbanan. It's a chiyuv from the Psukim, Megillah Esther. So men are obligated to read the Megillah as a function of divrei Kabbalah, as a function of the pasuk in Megillah Esther. So women are obligated, why? Because of Afen Hayubosu Hanes. So maybe Afen Hayubosu Hanes, maybe that's a din derabbanan. So women are obligated midrabbanan, and men are obligated midivrei kabbalah. That's how the Tori Evan explains, for example. So then women can't be motzi men because it's a different level of chiyuv. So when it comes to halal, so you could say that you have a similar issue. It says it goes to the same question we mentioned a few minutes ago. What is the nature of Afen Hayu Boso Hanes? Right? If you say that Afen Hayu Boso Hanes means, like Tosfos, that they are included in the same sakana, as opposed to Rashi, who says they were the hero. Right? Rashi says Afen Hayu Boso Hanes means they were the heroes of the salvation, Esther and Yehudis and the like. And Tosfos says that it means they were included in the sakana. So Rabbi Shulman says, I think if I understand him correctly, it's a very interesting perspective on the whole concept. But if you say that there's always an obligation of halal on an ace, right, that somebody who's saved from an ace is a takanas nevi'im, they should say halal. So then, afen hayu ba'oso hanes, what does that mean? It means that anybody who's a part of this nace should therefore respond with halal. So if it means that whoever was included in the threat therefore was saved from the threat and is obligated in halal, it basically goes back to the original core obligation, that whoever was saved from, if a woman had a personal miracle, presumably she'd have a chiyuv personally of hodah in that miracle. So too, if that's the nature of Hallel, that it was a communal institution of Hodah on a miracle. So whoever was saved in that miracle should presumably be chayiv in that on the same core level. So then you could say, right, so women are obligated in the same way as men are obligated. But if you say, like Rashi, that it's about the heroes, Yehudas and Esther and the like, so then it comes about in a whole different way. Then it seems that what you're saying is that really it's a mitzvah seisha as man grama and women are paturos. But women were the hero of the story. How could you leave them out? Okay, so we'll put them back in. We'll put a chiyuv drabanan. We will institute a chiyuv to recognize the fact that women were the heroes of the story. Because that's a whole different angle to come from. The fact that you're a hero of the story, why should that be mechayiv you in halach? So presumably, if that's the where, if that's where it comes from, if that's the issue, so that's different. That's not the main takan of halal. That's a new institution. So then you could argue, okay, so men are obligated in halal on yantif mit takanis nevi'im, or halal on neis mit takanis nevi'im, and women are obligated for this din drabanan of afen hayibos on neis, and it's a different level. So they can't be motzi men for that reason, but they are chayavos. And taka, yes, afen hayibos on neis does indeed apply, as you would have thought, as the premise of these questions. Second way he has of looking at it is the what if we say that halal itself ends up having two separate mechayvim, as we've kind of alluded to all along. We've said that halal comes because of yantif, and halal comes because of anes. And Taki, you should really look at the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Yud Beis. If you haven't seen it yet, there the Gemara has the whole story that, okay, let's say Rosh Chodesh, let's say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, let's say Halal on Shabbos, etc., etc. So the Gemara first says that you only say Halal on a day that is Ikdash Basiyas Mulacha. So that's why Rosh Chodesh Min Hadin doesn't really have Halal. But then the Gemara says, well, what about Hanukkah? There's no Isser Asiyas Mulacha on Hanukkah. So the Gemara said, but Hanukkah had a nes. So it sounds like from the Gemara, there's two different mechayvim. That there is a status of chag that comes from being a no malacha day, and there's also a chiv that comes from a nes. So what if we say that there's two mechayvim of halal and Hanukkah? It's both a nes and it's yantif, as it sounds like from our Gemara. And men are obligated in both. And when it comes to women, afen hayu ba'oso ha neis, so they have the neis part, but not the halal, but not the chag part, and therefore it's not a complete chiyuv, it's on a different level, so they can't be motzi men. This, by the way, again, to see the parallel to Purim, so many, many achronim discuss the Baha'i's position, what it is when he's saying that women are somewhat chayiv megillah, but not enough to be motzi men. And they have explanations along these lines. They say that El Purim involves a din in this and a din in that. Whatever it is, it's five or six different permutations of this and that. And women are only chayiv in one of them. Persume Nisa, let's say, because afen hayu boso anes. So there's five or six different versions of the formula. Say, oh, Hanukkah, Megillah, women are only chayiv partially, because Megillah is about Persume Nisa plus X. And women are paturus from X, whatever X is. Five or six different theories. So to here, we could say that they're chayiv in halal mishum hanes, but not halal mishum yantif, and therefore that's where you have this whole split. Talk of the fact that you have two separate machayivim, Rav Aaron Kotler explained that that's why the Gemara gives two different answers as to why we don't say halal every day of Pesach. Right. On the one hand, the Gemara says in Erechin that, as we've mentioned so far in the past, that Sukkot is Chalukin b'Korbanos, and different Korbanos every day, and Pesach is not. On the other hand, Chazal also say that we don't say Halal on the last is the Pesach because we feel bad about the Mitzrim drowning. So which one is it? So it could be both. It could be that in terms of the Yontif, we don't consider Pesach to be an independent yantif every day because it's not divided with its karbanos the way Sukkot is. And in terms of the nes, so the nes is a little bit muted because it also involves the drowning of the mitzvah. So maybe we need two different answers to explain two different mechayivim of halal. So then the question becomes, what actually is the mechayiv of halal on Hanukkah? So that what we've seen already, a couple of possibilities. Is the mechayiv of halal the pach hashemen, or is the mechayiv of halal the yontif component? And some suggest that this ties in to the Shiboli Haleket that we saw last week. Remember the Shiboli Haleket who asked, why do we say halal every day of Hanukkah? And gave two answers. One answer was from Rashi, that we light different candles every day. And the other answer was from Rishon Ben Yamin, who said that it's because the Pach HaShemen was miraculous every day. So maybe that reflects two different angles. But Rashi is saying there's a Chag every day, and that's reflected by the fact that there's a different practice, just like the different Karbonos every day of Sukkot. And the other opinion is saying that there's a Nes that happened every day, and that's what's Mechayev Halal every day. So this could then go to the question, what exactly is the driving force of Halal when it comes to Hanukkah? Alright, so there's a little more to say about this. Maybe what we'll do is we'll continue tomorrow, try to tie up all the loose ends. But now let's just try to quickly chazer what we said, and then we'll try to daven mincha. So basically discussed the following points. We said, what does it mean that the Rambam brings that Hanukkah was established as a day of Simcha? What's the nafkamina of Simcha? So we saw a possibility that maybe it means Suda. So that's taka what the Bach brings. But the Shulchan Aruch says the Sudas on Hanukkah are voluntary, as opposed to Purim, and the Bach's explanation of why that is, Purim was physical, Hanukkah was spiritual. That could also explain why we're not sure if we should say Al Nisim and benching on Hanukkah, but we are sure that we should say it in davening. And we discussed Rizalti's explanation about that as well, and we said we'll probably come back to that whole point about the Chi of Suda on Hanukkah specifically. So if it's not about Suda, what is it about? So there's the Brisker Rav, it's about Hesped and Tainus. And Rashi says to say halal, and therefore the question was, why do you need a kviyas yontif for halal? So apparently this reflects the idea that it has to have a chalosh shem simcha in the day in order to justify halal. We saw also that it affects the question of tzedek adin, and perhaps a few other things. So the Ibn Ezra says that we have a mochama, so you say, you call it a yontif in commemoration of that. So we discussed how the Ramban's position that halal is daraisa on yontif is because it's a function of simcha. Discussed the question of, okay, let's include other simchas in that also, and why maybe that's not such a compelling question. And then we discussed the machlokas between Rambam and Ravid, when the Rambam calls all of halal divrei sofrim, and the Ravid says, what are you talking about? It's divrei Kabbalah. And then we mentioned, as Rav Turchin explained, that the Rambam also might mean it's divrei Kabbalah, that there's a takana of saying halal when you have stayed from a miracle, and that takana includes Hanukkah as well, and maybe that's how it should be treated, that the takana of simcha and halal on Hanukkah all emanates from divrei Kabbalah. Maybe that's why women are pturos mitzvasei shazman grama from halal, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the rule applies to the rabbanans as well. And then we talked about the implication of women being pater, that the Mishnah says that women cannot be motzi men in halal. It sounds like the reason is because women are pater from halal, including on Hanukkah. So the question was raised by the Tzidei Chemed, and by the Torah Shafal and others, why don't we say, Afen ha'yibosu ha'neis, we should be mechayiv women in halal ha'neis. So we mentioned basically four approaches. We mentioned the suggestion that the Tzidei Chemed has, that maybe women are pater from this halal because it comes from war, and women are not involved in war, like the Sefer Achinuch says about a malig. We mentioned various unsatisfactory elements of that answer, and how it would mean that the halal itself is because of the war as opposed to the shemen, and that afhein is about shemen, which is a harder explanation to sustain, if we can sustain it at all. And then we mentioned possibilities within the idea of afhein hayabos or anes. First of all, the question of whether it just cancels out the p'tur of mitzvah seisha as one grama, which means we're left with the original takana, or is it a new chiyuv derabanan, which might be subject to different rules. And then we discussed also Rav Shulman's approaches, that maybe you could say that women are chayavos in halal, but they're not chayavos in the same way as men are, parallel to what we see by Megillas Esther in the view of the Bahag, that women are chayavos, but not chayavos enough to even see men. And he had basically two ways of saying that. Either we could say that it connects to the whole question of what afhein means. That according to Rashi, it means they were the heroes of the story, and according to Tosfos, it means they were saved from the same tsar. So if you say it means they were saved from the same tsar, it's an extension of the existing din, that everybody who's saved from the threat should say halal. That presumably is on the same level. But if it's about the fact they were heroes, okay, that's nice, but what does that do for us? Presumably what it means is that really they're pituros, but it's not right that the heroes should be left out of the mitzvah, so there's a new din derabanan to obligate them. So if that's the case, so it should apply in that context as a lower level, as an obligation with the Rabbanim, and that could explain it. Or you could say alternatively that there are two different mechayivim and halal on Hanukkah. There's the mechayiv of halal on Hanes and halal on Yantif, and maybe women, often also on Hanes, are only chayiv of the Hanes component, not the Yantif component. And we discussed Rav Aaron Kotler's approach to the two different mechayivim of halal, which emerged from the Gemara Ne'erichin and Daf Yud, could explain why Chazal give us two different answers, why we don't say halal all the days of Pesach and we do on Sukkot. And then it could also be to the question of what's the mechayev of halal on Chanukah. So maybe that was the machlokas we saw in the Shiboli Haleket. Why is it that we say halal every day? According to Rashi, it's because every day is distinct with new candles, so therefore it means that each day is a new yontif. Or according to Rabbeinu Binyamin, that they lit each day miraculously, so therefore there's a nace every day, and that's the machayev. So God willing, we'll fill in a little bit more about that tomorrow, and we'll see how that impacts on a few other concepts, and then we'll hopefully close up that topic just in time to observe the nace of Chanukah itself. Dov, you want to down for us? Okay, Asher Shabbat Shalom.